Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Have you heard Spike's Car Radio? It's comedian, actor, writer Spike Ferriston sitting on the porch in Malibu talking with some cool people about cool cars and life in general.
My first guest is Jerry Seinfeld. He's right here. He was all right. Don't try to hug him.
Chris Hardwick.
I could feel everything on the road. I mean, it was basically like, it was like unprotected sex for driving.
Jeremy Piven.
You and Jerry are spiritually tied to cars, and I respect it and I love it, but I don't quite get it yet, but I want to get it.
Download new episodes of Spike's Car Radio every Wednesday on the Podcast One app, or save time and subscribe now at Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.
This is Corolla Digital.
Taking calls, home improvement tips, straight from the Ace Man's lips to those in need. They cover it all, A to Z, roof to basement and in between. Raise up a ladder and Ace got the hammer. Fixing your trouble with hilarious banter. So send your emails to the Postal and Punisher with his old buddy Ray. It's Ace on the House.
Hey, welcome to
Ace on the roof, ace on the house, ace on the ace.
See how I just
Sunday edition.
Yeah, I just laid it out like a softball pitch to you.
Hey!
And then I had you fill it. Yeah.
That's all right, though. What are you doing?
Man, I'm just excited as heck because I got one more week until I go on vacation. I'm going to go to Mexico and do some kind of a crazy tropical scuba snorkel extravaganza.
Hey, how does that work out? Now, you and your wife have your own room, right?
Nope. Me and my wife have our own bed with mosquito netting.
Okay.
And thinly veiling and separating us from our filthy children will be a thin layer of mosquito netting.
So you're all like sharing a compound.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it a house or
Yeah, I'll just have to, you know, take Mrs. Stromer out to the beach and spend some quality time with her, if you know what I'm saying, among the sand
go
crabs.
To the mangrove
go to the mangrove
forest.
Yep, that's right. You know.
Like get in the kayak.
Somewhere where you can
you're going to get caught, bro.
You can revisit your idea of the paradise that is Adam and Eve. Am I right, Matt Fundelier?
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
So here's what I got.
Yeah.
I'm working on entryway to a house.
Yeah.
Actually, a friend we have in common.
Who? Common, the rapper?
No.
Oh.
A gentleman by the name of David. Anyway.
David?
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
But anyway, so I'm working on his entryway.
Yeah.
Whole door blasted out. Whole, you know, all messed up. But yeah. So I revitalize it. But what happened in the 60s or whatever it happened, double wood floor.
So they went inch and a half.
But oak on oak crime.
Oh,
so it's inch and a half, the bottom one.
Yeah.
They didn't strip it and go to the sheeting.
Used it as a subfloor.
Right. And then went oak on top of that.
Wow.
Hence, the mother effing threshold, 3 inches.
So it's a 3-inch step up from another room?
No, from the entryway.
Oh,
so you have brick going up.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's not noticeable, really.
No, but the thing is, very hard to get a piece of red oak or even clear oak at 3 inches. And now you have, you know, an uneven substrate.
You got to do
brick.
Like glue lamage?
No. Here's what I did.
Okay.
Here's what I did. So you got inch and a half.
Yeah.
Red oak.
Yeah.
Legs on both sides because, after all, it is 8 inches wide.
Gotcha.
It's 6 feet long.
Gotcha.
8 inches wide. Leg on each side, you know, inch and a half on each side.
Yeah.
The whole
that's a good
so
idea.
So U.
Okay, like a
underneath,
horseshoe. Yeah.
Right. And then did the cogs and everything else, zipped it down, planed it all so it would all sit flat.
That's a great
and then
idea.
Put my notch cut in
with
the fine tool and everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great idea. Way too much time. And then boom, saddle on top of that for the transition.
Okay.
I will be taking pictures.
I cannot wait to see that. Now, here's what I'm doing. I'm recreating.
Hold on, hold on. Okay. Ask me how much money I made
off
that.
How much you make on that?
Zero!
Oh, no.
Ask me again.
What? Wait, Dre? Ray? How much did you make on that?
Eric, I cry at night thinking about it.
Don't be crying.
No, but it was a favor. So you know what's weird? Will you do that volunteer thing like, hey, I got that? Because I'll do that with people.
Yeah, well, it's because you got a heart of gold.
Yeah.
You really are very generous.
A heart of gold and a penny in my pocket.
Ah! Right? Don't cry. Perhaps I know what I'd like you to help me with. This will be real money, hot money.
What do you got?
How about you help me make the? I have to fashion a 4x12 beam to become a fireplace mantle that looks like we dragged it out of the old Mississippi River, but we somehow realized that it was slightly irregular because it was floating for years and years in the water. So we pulled it out with our raccoon hats and our muskets,
okay.
And we decided to put some Brie wax on and stain it up a bit and then install it in this nice home.
We can do that.
You want to do that with me?
I'll do that with you. But that's
an art
chains
piece.
And...
Well, we could do chains. We can do belt sander.
Angle grinder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just make it look a little...
What are you going to use?
I'm just going to use Doug fir, then a beam that I buy at the lumberyard, and then we'll beat the crap out of it.
And let's get a really tight, see if we, well, it's going to be hard, tight grain.
Yeah.
Tight grain shows more.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, and we can make it really cool. We're going to burn it?
I don't know yet. We're going to stain it. We want it to look a little furniture-ish.
Can we do this together, like we hang out?
I want to do it together at the job together, finally, you and I united as superheroes of construction.
I'm in.
Right?
I'm in.
Okay, good.
Absolutely. You're in. That sounds fun.
All right, good.
So when is this your vacation, right? Now, is that all the kids are going?
All the kids are going. My wife, my sons, and my daughter.
That's going to be fantastic.
I hope so. I'm looking forward to it. I love the snorkeling in that part of the world because the water, the visibility is 350 feet.
But what about, are you guys going to do the scuba?
We're going to do the scuba, but my daughter cannot, I don't think. Because I think you have to be 13, maybe.
But
in Mexico, maybe they don't care. They'll just let you do a resort course, and you can. Anybody know Matt? You certified diver?
I did do that once, but I don't think that shit lasts very long.
Is there an age restriction? Do you know?
I'm not exactly sure. I'm thinking back on a family vacation where my little sister and I went scuba diving, and my sister had to have been maybe 15.
Does your
14,
sister
15?
Look exactly like you, but without a beard?
No, thankfully, no. She does not look anything like me.
What's her name?
What does she do?
She's like a receptionist at a financial firm not too far from here.
Should we go haze her?
No.
Should we hassle her in the job? Just walk in without pants?
No, she's a sweet girl. She's a little younger than I am.
Okay.
Kaelin's giving me 10 fingers. I think he's trying to say my sister's a 10.
Wait. 10
years
old is how young you
are. Oh, 10 years old is how old you have to be.
Oh, so my daughter's 11, so we could do it.
There you go.
Is she really?
Yeah, man.
Hey, wait. Was she at your wedding, your sister?
Yeah. Yeah, she gave the speech.
Ray doesn't seem to remember the wedding.
No, I do. It was a great time.
Wasn't the only one who forgot about it.
Wow. That's right.
Got that report from a lot of friends. We had a nice open bar there.
It was great.
Isn't it funny when you say, yeah, I can't remember anything, and then it's like, well, why did I even invite you then? You wasted salmon.
Yeah, thanks.
I could have given the salmon to someone who remembered.
No, the whole point was to have a great party for all our friends.
So. And he pulled
Mission
it off.
Accomplished.
He really did.
Yeah, yeah. I think so
it was
too.
A good time.
I was there, by the way, but I was hiding.
I'm sorry, Eric.
That's okay. Don't worry about it.
Hey, wait. How long have you been married now, Matt?
It's been over a year now.
Wow.
Yeah. Time flies.
How is Mrs. Fondelier? Is she
she's
great?
She's great.
Okay.
Yeah, she's doing good.
Does she like the new house?
I think so, yeah. We're just still getting settled in, but it's been going really well.
And what do you think? What's the best part and what's the worst part of the new house?
Worst part is the commute here.
Yeah.
I used to live way closer to the studio.
Yeah.
I literally like tripled the amount of time I'm in my car.
Right.
But it's funny. We had a caller, I think, on the last week's show saying that they're a renter. They don't have a yard. I'm very fortunate. We're renting and we have a backyard that's bigger than my parents' house.
Wow. So you also have a garage too, right?
Yeah, we have a garage. We have a vegetable garden. We have it's insane property.
What is she growing out there?
Basic stuff. I mean, you know, tomatoes, potatoes, peppers.
You think we'll ever see, fruits of your labor?
Perhaps.
Like maybe a tomato. All I want is a tomato.
Sure.
Do you guys do that thing like when you're cooking, you go out to the yard and pick your herbs?
Well, that's the goal. We're getting to that point.
Maddie, yeah. I planted a peach tree 2 years ago. I actually planted a bunch of them, and they are literally exploding, and I have so many peaches that it's like a joke.
I love that.
And the squirrels started getting them. I chased them away, and then it was so abundant that I picked them all, and then some of them were like turned into peach wine in the fridge.
Because I fermented onion.
So now I'm going to make some peach jam.
Good. Bring some in.
I love the peaches.
But you know what I'll do? I'll do that thing where you have an abundance of whatever it might be,
yeah.
And I'll just keep eating them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'll keep doing it. But with the fruit, the bad part of the fruit.
The old explosive diarrhea.
Yeah. You know, like, all right, I ate 20 pounds of strawberries, and all right, now I'm looking at 20 pounds of strawberries.
That's
weird.
Right. Yeah, but I'll tell you, you can't.
But it's worth it.
You can't stop eating it. It's so good.
It's good.
I love the summer fruit, the stone fruit especially.
Really?
Yeah.
That's your thing?
God, it's so good.
Now, yours have a lot. Now, because buy them now, there's no scent anymore.
Nothing,
everything's been like genetically whatever.
It's so different.
But yours is nice, right?
Oh, man, no pesticides, right? I'll put it to you this way. I drive my truck in. I simply reach out the window and pull a peach off the tree.
So
and
nice.
Eat it, park, go into the house.
Like, I love me some apricots, too.
Yeah.
Apricot, I love plums, especially like the blood plum. And if it's
The dark red ones, yeah.
Oh, that are so, and then, but with the green skin.
Yeah.
When you bite into
I know
it's
what
like
you
that
mean.
Purple,
yeah.
purple. But you know what I do now, because I usually pick them off of a tree or whatever, you know, when I do run into them, I always peel it apart first, because I have, on occasion, like just bitten into it. Boom. Hello, Mr. Maggot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because you can't tell they've gotten through the skin.
Right.
Oh, that's
so
sad.
You peel it apart first to make sure you don't eat. It's not going to hurt you.
I would venture to say that if you bit into this said fruit and did bite into some insect, way better than the store-bought traditional pesticides that are on that peach.
Yeah, I
don't. You know what I mean?
Besides
so
that, it's not like I haven't eaten a bug on a dare anyway.
Yeah.
I have. Kalen, you ever eat a bug?
I think roly-polies when I was little. I used to like to pop those in my mouth as a kid.
Swallow or chew?
Both.
Okay. All right. Good man. Good man.
He's
fair enough.
Down.
Fair. See how authoritatively he answered that?
Yeah.
He just said, "Yeah, of course I eat roly polies."
It brought back some memories. You telling me about that biting into those bugs?
Right. I mean, you know. And then, like, did you always do this one? Like, everybody's done this one. You ate the dog biscuit.
I've done that.
Sure.
I've eaten the dog food too.
I tried the dog bacon. That's the one that I wanted because I thought it would taste like real bacon.
And
it does not taste like real bacon.
What's it taste like?
Like dog bacon.
Ooh.
That's
the name of my follow-up memoir, Eric Stromer, Dog Bacon. Get it on newsstands now. Thank you.
You're a bug eater, Matt? Don't lie.
We'll say again? Bugs?
Bug eater,
bugs.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. In fact, on a recent episode of Chris Loxamana's podcast Resume, I did a very lengthy segment about how I fucking hate eating bugs. I don't know. I feel like we're all being normalized for this.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to normalize it now because 15 years from now we're not going to have a choice.
There'll be no food.
I'm talking about a dare. I'm not talking about like, you know. No. When you were a kid, you wouldn't.
Jesus Christ. No, I'd never ate a bug.
Did you ever eat a goldfish?
No.
At a party drunk?
No.
Have you ever had a pirate eye patch on?
Maybe.
Tuesday.
Yeah, that I think I have done.
Tuesdays. All right, I have no further questions.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor.
Wait, did you ever use... Hey, Eric, now tell the truth.
Yeah.
Don't lie.
What do you mean, don't all lie? Right. Like, I lie all the time?
You ever eat your booger?
Yes, of course.
Right,
who
good.
Hasn't?
Me too. Matt?
Yeah, probably.
All right, there you go. Kalen, I know you have.
Yeah.
Today, probably.
I was eating roly-polies.
I was eating boogers. Okay,
man,
hey,
we got callers like crazy.
Let's do it.
Let's go to Miguel. Hey, Miguel Austin.
Miguel.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
You ever eat your booger?
Yeah.
Not
good
a boy.
Man.
Good job.
Oh, what are you guys
in
Austin,
about
you have bats?
Oh, yeah, there's a bridge with some bats under there. A lot of people hang out.
I like that.
It's not that exciting.
How come?
Oh, thank you. Wait, the bats are not that exciting because they fly in and out every night and then they poop on you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, guana.
Yeah, that's right.
But that's good luck.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to touch the bats because also they could have rabies and then you have to go to the hospital. So.
Yeah, that's no good.
What do you got going, Miguel?
I got an RV and I want to renovate it, but
is it a silver, like a Silverstream or something? What is it?
I wish. It's a fifth wheel. One of the sides comes out. It has a, you know, decent sized living room. But, you know, it has a bunch of old carpet in there and, you know, just crappy windows and stuff like that. And yeah. I was wondering, do you have any tips on renovating? I've never really done
that. What do you want to do? Do you want to, like, Airbnb it or something out in your front lawn? What do you want to do
with
it?
No, I'm just going to stick it on a ranch and just go and have fun out there. So it's just for my personal use.
Well, if I were going to remodel, I think remodel goes across the board, you know, whatever it is. You just do it like a house or whatever. But I would use, like, you know, I'd get rid of all the carpet.
Yeah.
And just lay some laminate down.
And a lot of time those things have suspended floors because, you know, the shape of the exterior may be rounded. I don't know if yours is. Is yours squared off or rounded?
Pretty square.
Okay, so it's probably just a flat floor then on the bottom of the RV itself.
Yeah, are they tapered? Are you saying does it have a cove?
Yeah, that's right.
Do you have a cove going up where if you were to, you know, do wood or laminate or even linoleum, do you have to cut it up the wall or no? Would it just lay flat? And by the way, Miguel, what are you doing? Are you working on it now? What's that noise?
No. Oh, I'm walking my dog right now.
Oh, good man.
Those are cars. Neighborhood.
Gotcha. So yeah, I would do whatever you want to it. I mean, cabinets are cabinets. A lot of stuff you could probably find at, you know, salvage places that you could implement into it. You know, I'd be careful with that though. I try and restore it first before you start getting into ripping stuff out.
Okay.
What's the worst feature of it? What do you hate?
Just the carpet and there's carpet in the bathroom.
Yeah,
and
get rid of it.
Plastic toilet. Yeah,
I would do. Yeah. I would do peel. You know, nice peel and stick, or you know, floating floor on the bathroom floor. Something that's waterproof. Because are you ever going to shower in there?
Yeah. Or if I can build an outdoor.
Like
are you being attacked by wild dogs?
That's his dog.
Almost. There was a fence, but some of these dogs are okay.
Yeah.
Whereabouts? You live in Austin.
Central.
By the airport.
Yeah. He lives in the loudest part of Austin. Loudest part I've ever heard.
Hey, but
I live just below the river. It's in like a neighborhood.
So you like do that really river walk? What's that other place where you go like hiking up there where that river is? That green, what's it called? Greenbelt. I like that.
The Greenbelt.
And
there's Town Lake Trail. The Riverwalk is in San Antonio.
Yeah, no. I was saying the Greenbelt. Yeah, that part.
Yeah, Greenbelt, yeah. And Barton Springs and...
Yeah,
you know,
I've been there. I
stuff.
Like that stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, but... And then, you know what else? What year was your RV built?
I'm not sure.
Approximately?
Like 2010 or something, maybe?
All right. Then use any material you want.
Yeah, you're fine.
Like, I'd get cheap goods, too. All right.
Okay.
Your line's really bothering me now, though. All that background noise. Miguel, good luck.
Thanks, man. Bye.
See you, man. Jason, Portland, what's up?
Jason?
Jason, Portland is gone.
All right.
Try hitting line 5.
Okay.
Jason?
Jason.
Yes.
Oh, Jason, you know what?
What's going on?
I thought you were on line 3, so that's on me.
I'm not on line 3. I'm on this line.
You're on line 5, bro.
Finally, you're on a line.
Sweet. Sweet. Got a question about an attic fan.
Yeah.
Better to go out the top or gable vented on either side so that there's a cross breeze?
Ooh, I like the cross breeze. If you can do both, do it.
Do top and sides?
No, I would do just either top or just sides.
Sides. So the question on the side is, do you have to have just a fan on one side and then a passive, you know, vent on the other that closes when there's no air pressure? Or
that would be great if you could do it. Okay. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Okay.
But
you don't want it open though.
Air on the side of huge, because nothing changes the interior air quality climate like an attic that is well vented.
Or so you want to do like a whole house fan? Is that what you want?
No, we've got central AC. You just put that in, and that's working pretty good. I just want to take a little bit more of the edge off. It doesn't get that hot in Portland.
Yeah, I think that would be really helpful.
Oh, so you want to just get rid of the attic there?
Yeah.
Exactly. That's it. Just want to get rid of that blanket and of hot air on the top of the house, and I figure that'll probably reduce the temperature in the house by a couple degrees.
You know,
you have a really bad line, Jason. But yeah. We get what you're saying. Yeah. I want you to
do it and get as big a fan as you can get, and it'll really make a huge difference. And they're on thermostats, so they kick on when you need them, and it's fantastic.
You know, we were in. Yeah, they're not hard to put in either.
Yeah, they really aren't. They just kind of screw into existing framing, and you know sometimes
run some Romex.
Sometimes you might have to amend it, you know, with a little cross member or something. But it's pretty straightforward and easy.
I got an inline fan.
They're all built like 16 on center, like they're built to fit right in.
Yep, that's right.
And then you can even, if you're going to run the tube or run some whatever you're going to run, some ducting or venting. Then you can run it in line.
While you're up there, because you're in Portland, I would get a flashlight and shine it up onto the plywood on the framing on the roof just to see if you see any discoloration or, you know, runs of rust nails and all that kind of stuff, just to kind of make sure you're doing okay there. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
that's good advice.
And if you do see anything and then you start to poke at it and it's some dry rot, you know, be careful, and you know, the next time you do the roof, you'll know where you're going to have some work done. You know what I mean?
Well, I just had it done, so I'm good on that. But it's good advice nonetheless.
All right, good.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, guys. Thank you, man.
You know, I did a I had a fan deal.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm going to let you go first.
Well, I was going to tell you. You know, there's this show on History called Alone. I'm going to set up the picture. Alone!
I'm scared already.
Okay, so imagine if you had teams that were split with five items only each. And those teams could be, for example, you know, a pair of brothers or sisters or, you know, fathers and sons or married couple. Anyway, 10 survivalists are dropped into an unforgiving wilderness, and that's on North Vancouver Island. They have to survive on their own. And here's the catch. It's not like one of those shows where... You know, you got your guy, and there's like, you know, hey, Bear, can you put the Rattler in frame a little more to the left, and, you know, let's powder him up real quick. You know, it's not that, which is the traditional way of doing it. It's the guy or a gal or your family or your brothers or whatever holding a selfie camera. I'm freezing. I have hypothermia. I'm going down. Like, it's that drama rather than a full crew around you, right?
So yeah,
it's a little bit different. It's authentic. It's back for its fourth season. It's got a crazy new twist. 10 survivalists are dropped into the unforgiving wilderness. 5 competing teams, brothers, fathers, and sons, married couple. Guess what's at stake? $500,000. Whatever team wins, they get $500,000. New episodes on Thursdays, 10, 9 Central on History.
Awesomer.
Right.
Well, if you guys want, we can move over to a video question.
Yeah, let's go. Come on.
All right. So. Just in case you don't know, you can email us your video questions, aceonthehouse@adamcarolla.com.
Whoopsie.
Go to aceontheroof.com if you want to see it. So here is a video from David in Arizona.
Hey, guys. David Scottsdale. I had a shed taken out because I had two giant palm trees growing behind it, slowly crushing it. And it has also moved my cinder block wall out.
So it's surrounded in block wall.
Probably... 6-8 inches at the top, which is freestanding.
It's a slump stone wall.
And I also have a power line which goes out to the pool over there. So there we go. Any advice on how to straighten this thing up
and get it back to plumb?
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Wow, it looks like wood on one side, Eric, and then block on the other. Well, so he's got two buttresses, you know, that are like slump stone. That are, what, a 16 by 16?
Yeah.
And then he's got, like, a 886 block there.
Right.
Spanning.
And we don't know if he's got, you know, hopefully, for his sake.
Solid film?
Yeah, it's solid film, but hopefully it isn't to repair it, because then you can get a big old piece of rebar down there and try and pry it.
You're going to have to rock it, Eric. First of all, you got to cut out that. There's two stumps there, and the one stump pushed the wall over probably about 6 inches.
Yeah.
And you got to remove that stump all the way.
This guy did say in his email, that he needs tips on how to remove some or all of the stump so that he can get the wall to the original spot.
You got to get a stump grinder.
You
got to
get a stump grinder, and you got to dig you got to come out 3 or 4 feet and start digging. I would start wetting it now for the next couple of days, over and over and over and over again. And that's going to be a nightmare job because you don't have any – you can't get around the perimeter. You can only get into –
to one side.
It's a quarter of a pie essentially that you can work on, right?
So, I mean this tree is right in the corner of two block walls, and so it's like it's got a right angle to it,
The only good news is that the palm roots probably didn't grow on the foundation of the block wall, but they probably certainly went under it.
Well, and palm roots are just a huge root ball.
Yeah, pretty shallow, too. Yeah,
So he's got to get rid of that, and then you got to give the wall some relief on the right-hand side. If you're looking at this, we're looking at an angle of two walls meeting.
It's probably out of plumb by 4 inches from bottom to top.
And if he gets that relief on it, if you get the relief on it, you can actually shake the wall back into place. I've done it.
Yeah.
So you can, like, rock it, push the wall back into place, put a kicker on the wall or a few of them, undermine it on the right-hand side, not the left-hand side, because you got to get the relief on the left hand.
Right.
And then throw some concrete under there with maybe a couple of sticks of number three. Or just knock the fucking wall down and put a fence up.
Maybe it's less of a hassle for you to knock the wall down, and then you're going to be able to access digging out the stumps easier.
And then put a wood
fence. And then either do a wood fence or, you know, it looks like kind of fence land there. It's too many elements. I would like you to unify it to one.
Right. You got dog ear at the neighbor.
Yeah.
And then you got a couple of different blocks going on.
Is the other side of the wall his neighbor or just another side of the wall?
I think that's his neighbor.
Yeah, he doesn't say.
Yeah. Yeah, I would just knock it down and start over.
Because it's not that big of a run.
At the end of the day, it's going to be more labor to dig it out with the wall there than if it's gone.
It.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like trying to go for stuff like that. You know what I mean?
I was going to even say throw a piece of rebar in there if you can get to the bottom and attach it to your car or truck and try and just pull it slightly.
You think?
Because it would make a great video if,
if
the entire
up.
Thing fell out, which I would encourage you to have someone film.
You can do it though. I mean, but I think I'm with Eric as far as like just throw it over.
How much would that be to reblock? Probably what?
It's like
$800 in labor.
Yeah, I think they charge. You know, it varies between 80 and 100 linear foot.
Yeah,
you know, something like that.
That
includes foundation and everything else. But you can throw. I mean, good guys can throw 500 block up in a day.
Yeah.
They fly. I mean, I ain't good. They are good. I've seen it.
Yeah.
You've seen it. What else we got, Matt?
Well, we have a set of email questions here. They're both from Leon in New York. Yeah, I think we're going to have time for both of them, though. We'll break it down for you. Here's the first question. I'm getting ready to replace the railing on my outdoor wood deck. But before I do that, I noticed that 3 out of the 6 steel support columns show some signs of cracking and rusting. Huh. Do I need to replace these for safety concerns? Currently, there does not seem to be any sagging or strength issues with the deck, but I want to know if this will become an issue in the near future.
Wait, what is that?
It's a porte-cochere. It's like a deck.
No,
and then
but
you
what
park
is, what's the
it.
Post made out of?
Steel.
And it's split, or is that just rust and paint?
It looks like it's cracked.
Yeah, he says 3 out of the 6 steel support columns show some signs of cracking and
rusting.
Well,
that's terrible. Why the hell did they do that?
Well, I mean,
I bet somebody hit it from the other side, right? Look, doesn't it seem like someone hit it on the other side of the crack and pushed it out?
Someone did something.
Why else would it split like that? It's steel.
Well, moisture could do
really?
It. And it looks like there's been a lot of moisture. Where is this?
It just says New York.
Yeah, man, I don't know. So, and it looks like if it did split, it's filled with cement, isn't it?
I think that's just paint. What I would do is I would grind that down and then have it filled, welded.
But we got to make sure. Yeah, that's right. There you go. That's the answer.
Fill it, and then I'd make sure there was no moisture in those posts.
Yeah.
So maybe, check that way. Because could it be rotten from the inside out, Eric?
It could. Like water got in there and it ultimately just corroded from the inside out.
So we're looking like a deck that's also a carport, and it's a mid-century house.
Yeah.
And it's super cool, but that super scares me.
Yeah, it does me too, especially when it's steel that's split.
Another fix you could do is you could shore it up, cut that steel out, and have a new post put in.
That's what I would do.
You know, or
by shoring
or
it up,
it checked.
By shoring it up, Ray, it means that we would put another post. I would put two more in there just hold it up while you're doing the work. Then you can cut out the old one, put the new one in the same place where there's a footing, and you're good to go. But in the interim, you're going to want to lay down like a 2x6 or 2x12s on that blacktop to disperse the weight of the new post.
And run them all the way down with the jack and everything else, like with a bottle jack.
It's a little engineering-ish.
You know what? Would you get an engineer for this? You know what I would do? I'd get a guy who's pretty smart and is capable.
Yeah. This isn't something to mess with because I don't want you guys out on that deck dancing and then, you know, that thing falls over someday.
And then crushes a car, crushes you.
Yeah.
That's not a good scene right there.
Yeah. And if it was impact, it's compromised, has to be replaced. I wouldn't want to see you just like caulk it and paint it because there's structural issues with it. So I'd rather it be replaced.
But that steel's cracked there.
I know it is. I don't like it.
I don't know.
I want it to go away.
It scares me.
I want to do a new one.
And it looks like it's about 4-inch pipe.
Yeah.
But super cool place.
And you know what else you could do? If you don't want to go the steel route, you could just replace those with, you know, wood posts. You'd be fine there too.
But then you're killing the look.
You are. You're right.
Come on. It's like, you know what? It's like shaving your head. Come on, bro.
All right. Sorry.
You know what I mean?
You're right. I'm sorry.
Come on.
You're right.
It's like Matt shaving his beard. I wouldn't even recognize
it. I don't know if I could handle you without facial hair.
Kaylin, you have a beard,
hair.
Too.
It's all his beards.
You too, Eric. What the hell is going on with me?
Beard day.
Oh, I know why.
It's beard day.
Mine's white.
Oh.
Does it really come out totally white, like a sea captain?
A little bit.
Attaboy.
Yeah, a little bit white. Right. Well, look at my hair.
It looks good.
Yeah, it's white.
I'm just glad you got here. It's nice.
Dude.
Right?
Come on.
What? You're still in the game, for
kinda.
God's sakes.
Wait till I get my surgery next week.
What are you getting?
I'm nothing.
Ray's getting breast implants.
Getting some titty.
You're getting man's ears?
Yeah.
You guys want to do this other email question here?
Heck yeah.
All right, so the same guy, Leon in New York.
Yeah.
It might even...
Uh-oh.
I'm not sure if it's the same. Maybe this is the
top
of the deck.
So since my deck fell, now I have to make a casket out of pine. Yeah.
So this is, I'm assuming, a different part of his house here. I had these porch railings custom built for me by a carpenter last summer. He stained it with semi-transparent exterior deck stain, followed by a poly lacquer. In one season, they are rough to the touch and showing signs of mold. The rest of the railings look fine. It's just the handrails that look bad. What can I do this season to make them look good again and also not have to do it every year? Thanks.
Well, sand them completely down and start over with marine-grade varnish and clear coat and whatever that guy did. It doesn't look like it's rough to the touch. It looks like he put clear coat on and a bunch of shit fell in it from the tree.
Or it looks like the moisture, like it's effloresced. You know what I mean? Like the moisture's coming up from the bottom.
Could be. But it doesn't look good, and you just got to sand it and do it over. And you're committed to this look, by the way, because the rest of the deck is this. And all this clear coat finish stuff. Think about boats and that people are literally working on boats 24/7. When you own a boat, you got... so much work,
maintenance,
right?
Maintenance.
So if you want the
never
look,
ends.
If you want the wood look, this is why they invented vinyl windows, because it's labor intensive and you're going to have to probably do it every year if you want it to stay that pristine looking.
But the marine varnish with the UV protectant does last longer than every year.
Maybe two.
And there's a good one. There's a Sickens makes a product. It's called 123. It's a 1, and then the other one's a 2-3. I don't know why they call it 1-2-3. But it'll last up to 5-6 years.
Really?
Yeah. Super expensive.
Really? I've never seen
and
it.
Super
I've never
caustic.
Seen anything go 5-6.
I did it
Can
up
you
on...
you swear to God?
I swear to you, on Luan, on doors.
Really?
Yeah. Exterior doors up in Sunset Doheny area. Have pictures of it.
All right. I will.
And it turned out.
I would look at
and
that.
And there's a maintenance coat you can use because you can do the 2-3.
Straight over without having to sand?
Without having to knock it down. Like once it starts, like, you know, lifting. Because it lifts on the bottom.
Is this the same company that does Bin 123, the primer?
No. Different company.
Okay.
Different. I know Ben, though, too. Yeah. Like, they have the schlack based.
You ever
one
use this stuff
the
called the Gripper Primer?
I don't.
Pretty
right
good,
now.
Pretty good stuff. Hey, no.
No, I don't.
All right, go ahead.
Which one is that?
It's a good one. I just used it on some cabinets. I sprayed out. They look fantastical.
Did you spray the cabinet?
No, my guy.
All right, there you go.
Notice how I say my guy.
No, I know. I like that.
You know?
I do the same thing.
I know.
You take credit for everything, but
yeah,
actually...
Of course it looks
no,
good.
No, no, no. I don't like that.
Yeah.
You know? Sand that down again.
And then if someone says, I hate what you did, I go, I know. That guy sucks.
You just point at him. All right. You point at that guy. Well, you know...
Yeah.
What can I tell you?
He was Baracho.
We'll do it again. Yeah. Baracho. I know that word.
Yeah, you do.
What else we got, Matt?
Well, we got some Twitter questions. If you're not following us on Twitter, please do so. At East on the House. You'll be able to tell when we record the show. You can call us and talk to us. But
follow
if you want,
the Eric Stromer, too, on the Twitter.
Yeah, why not?
Follow
why
Eric
not?
And Eric Stromer. Follow Ray at Ray Oldoffer. You can even follow me at Matt Fondelier.
Well, who wouldn't follow you,
who
Matt?
Wouldn't?
Come on.
So here's a Twitter question from a fan named Chad. How do I finish a cinder block shower in my basement?
Oh, that's so porous and horrifying.
It does sound like he's working with that guy from a few weeks ago with the murder tunnel.
Yeah, the murder tunnel. Yeah. It's a place where you cure meat or murder. That's it's right. One of the two.
First of all, you got to waterproof it.
Yeah,
dude, because it's not going to be waterproof.
You know, it isn't. It'll ultimately deteriorate with water on it over and over again.
But I would steel trowel it. And I would put in my mix, I would put acrylic and some other stuff that's a water repellent. And then now what they have is it's a breathable sealer. You spray it on. It reeks, but it lasts a long
time. You mean the pink stuff?
No. No, it's a sealer.
Oh.
And it costs.
For masonry.
Right. And it's expensive. It's like $70 for a quart.
Yeah.
But the water, it repels the water and it's still breathable. Like
and
water beads on it.
Oh wow!
And it's still like
what is breathes. This? This is like witchcraft.
It's one of those new micro whatever. I forget the name of the company who makes it, but I've used it twice on showers that I did like Adobe style.
Sure,
you know,
yeah.
Just plain look. You know, get the.
So what are you using as the final product? Are you doing like concrete,
no,
like smooth trowel cement?
Just type S.
Okay,
yeah. Gotcha. Type S, tool it. You know, get your corners going. Get the even on a wide
corner. And then
corner.
that stays in, it still has integrity over with years of water on it showering.
Yeah.
Okay.
It works.
All right.
You know, so
I like the look of it.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
I do too. So do that and you can get out of the woods or not.
Yeah.
You know.
Or
you
don't
do
or don't shower or kill in that.
By the
facility.
Way, why would you do a block shower?
I don't know. See, I don't know and that concerns me. I don't like it. And I wonder what the shower base is. What's the base?
Well, you just got to pitch
it. How are you
going
to tie into block?
Well, I mean, the base has got to be on the bottom. It's got to be a sump pump or something getting the water out, right?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know what he's doing.
It sounds a little fishy to me. I don't know.
Get it?
We need more photos.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Hopefully so not too many photos of that basement.
Not that many. Not so many that it incriminates you.
So what else are you working on?
I got this big old 5,000 square foot house. I'm doing another kitchen up in Westlake. I got a house out in Malibu, which, by the way, I worked on last week a bit, and it was me on the beach. Listen to this. Me on the beach.
Well, talk slower.
Okay. About 78 degrees, 77, 78. No shirt on with the tanning cream. I got my hair back. I got my, my thing. I got my little, I wear one of those little schmata things like a sleeve to keep the hair out of my face when I'm painting, right?
Makes
me crazy if it's blowing in my eyes, right? I got the perfect situation. I got, a couple of beers out there. It's gorgeous. What happens to me, you might ask, Eric Stromer, what happens? Well, I'll tell
Eric,
you.
Eric, what happens?
Okay, good. So I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, two gals come down, and they lay their towel out. Okay? They got their suits on. Everything's fine. So I put my headphones on. You occasionally do the looky-loo, look over, see what's going on.
Sure.
Right? Guess what happens?
Topless.
Thank you. Guess what happens then?
Uh-oh.
Put on my sunglasses.
Oh, you did?
Keep painting. Keep my head straight. But I got eyes on the side. I don't know.
And so how long until you were arrested for public masturbation?
About four minutes.
I saw the paint job on the side of the house. It's a weird angle. It's like not straight at all.
That's right.
It's beautiful.
But can you imagine that people come down to Malibu is not a nude
There's
beach
a nude
place,
section.
But there is a nude. But this is not that section. This is like...
I think girls should be allowed to do that wherever they are.
I love it. I got to tell you my experience with the nude beach, okay? I went to this place called St. Bart's once. French West Indies.
Yeah.
You fly there. You get out of the plane. It's literally like you're in the south of France, but it's on an island, right? Unbelievable food. Supermodels. I went there on my honeymoon, first time I got married. I was married for exactly 1 year because during that honeymoon, I thought, why am I so interested in all these other people while I'm sitting here with this woman I married? What's wrong
hey, honey,
with me?
She
am
have
I
great
wrong?
Breasts?
Is there something to make? You know, it was like one of those deals.
Oh,
but
no.
But the gals are all topless there. And you know what happens after about 3 or 4 days of people being topless? When a woman comes on a beach that's not topless, that becomes
gives
erotic.
You attention. Yeah.
It's weird how that happens.
Because you've been overexposed.
Because it's just like everything becomes how it normally would be, right?
Sure. You
but
acclimate.
Then the bathing suit becomes sexy.
Sure.
So I was all freaked out. God,
it's
I was married exactly.
Get it?
Man, I was married exactly 364 days.
It's all right, man.
It's all right.
Look at
now, did you get that annulled?
But don't forget.
Did you get it annulled?
No, we got out. We got out legit because it was actually a little bit longer. But we kind of realized at that point, no. But then I married the lovely Mrs. Stromer. Guess how long I've been with her? 22 years.
That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
I wouldn't look at another lady on the beach with her. Not Mrs. Stromer when she's
no,
there.
No, because Mrs. Stromer will knock you out.
That's right.
Ouch. Ryan.
Yes, sir.
What are you doing? Are you
Listen,
in your cabin
I need
now?
A little help with an analysis.
Okay.
I got a second home, like a cabin up at Bucks Lake, California. Ever heard of it?
No.
Well, it's an old, we'll call it rustic cabin, and it's kind of run its course. It's like over 100 years old. Really awesome, but some of the logs are starting to dissipate on me, and I probably need to bulldoze it down and build a new. And I wanted to get your opinion if I should just start like a regular construction project or if I should get one of those cabin kit homes and if you've ever broken down a cost analysis and the pros and cons of each.
Are you going to, oh, so do you like the cabin look and the vibe of that?
Yeah, but I also like the vibe and look of money in my bank.
So the thing I found about the kit.
I don't.
The kit.
You're mad at money?
Yeah, he's mad.
I hate money.
You know, the thing about the kit house is that
you time out, where is the Ace Man?
Ace Man is currently
indisposed.
He's indisposed right now.
I feel so dirty right now.
Yeah,
okay, go ahead.
Yeah, he's dirty. The kit home, it ends up being, you know, what you're saving in the kit home is you're not paying an architect to design it. You're not. There's no guesswork. It shows up. You get what you get. You know, and you can pretty detailed control costs because they're telling you exactly what you need.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you're kind of flying by the seat of your pants and just doing it on your own, you're going to always go over because a strange thing happens. As you can go through a project, your taste starts getting better. And
right.
you want better and better things like sinks and faucets and, you know, wall color and different lighting.
You have an 8-foot lid and now you want a 10-foot
lid.
Yeah,
and so it's all those change orders on yourself that kills you. So, you know, unless you are a good estimator or have a friend that can really kind of do a specific number budget for you, the
Ryan,
kit home is going to be more controllable.
Are you going to pull permits for this or is it existing?
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm going to have to get a permit either way. I was going to try and
is there any wait a minute. Is there any salvage for the cabin? I mean, is it made out of logs?
Yeah, yes, it is. It is made out of logs, so there'll be some good logs in there, but there's no advantage. I checked with the county, and they're borderline corrupt, and they're going to make me get whole new sprinkler systems and build a new driveway, even just if I leave a wall on. So there's no advantage to...
Is there an advantage to leave the whole thing up and restore it, you know, one wall at a time slowly?
Nope, there's no advantage to that.
Is there an advantage of not doing it with permits and not dealing with any of it? You know, doing that?
What are you suggesting?
Well,
there?
I'm suggesting that if you go legit, you're going to have to get everything inspected and you're going to have to, you know, accommodate that square footage in your new tax structure. So you're going to be paying for that versus amending what you have and saving the money and just kind of bootlegging it as you go. But, you know, you get what you get that way. And if you try and sell it and you've put on 1,200 square feet, you can't sell it with 1,200. It's more like the perception that I've got this extra room, even though it doesn't show up on the city plan, right?
I like where you're going with this, but you're kind of opening Pandora's box.
Yeah, like, it sounds like you
when
already
do sell it, what happens when they come out and do a appraisal and they find that there's a lot more square feet.
No one cares.
It happens everywhere.
No one cares. It's just that the home buyer is going to say, well, honey, it only is 980 square feet, but he's put on 1,500 more square feet, and it sure is nice to have that room, even though it's not permanent. Let's go ahead and buy it anyway, and they may negotiate with you a little, but I find that perception is everything, and if it's cool, people really don't give a shit about the square footage, and that's
you're telling me there's no flag by the county that's going to go, wait a second, this guy...
No.
You might get in a little trouble, but you can always get stuff permitted after
and
the fact, too.
And you're the owner-builder, then, and you're just saying that I'm the guy that is going to do this, and it's my property, so I'll get these permits, and it's not going to be a big deal, but it is going to be a big deal if you're trying to do a flip and make 900 square feet into 5,000.
What's your intention, Ryan?
If you don't permit it, it doesn't make sense to the buyer who's trying to get the really fancy new house with the square footage.
Do you want to keep this place? What do you want to do?
Yeah, I think if it's nice enough, I'd keep it.
Then I would try and restore the logs because there's a lot of products out there now where you can inject this epoxy and then they turn, structural again. You know, there's a lot of different stuff you could do with it.
I would tent it and termite it and make sure that before you epoxy, everything's dead in there.
And that you, yeah.
And then do that.
What's going on? Is it dry rot or termites that's killing
it? I mean, it's an old cabin. It's like over 100 years old. The thing is outstanding. Some of the weight-bearing logs that's on piers are just starting to collapse and sag a little bit, and so all of a sudden now it's hard to open my door.
Can you piecemeal fix it, though? Can you jack it up and piecemeal fix it?
That's what I'm doing right now is kind of jacking it up and replacing it, but eventually, I mean, what are you going to do, go through and replace every single log?
I would if you could. I mean, or I'd just get rid of the bad ones and shore it up and do it that way.
Yeah, but again, this is unless you want to drop your $215 or $230 a square foot cost to make a high-end custom home that's really cool, that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, it's a different thing.
This is the second place. We only get up there a handful of times a year because of the kids and all that.
Yeah,
I would just try and fix it.
Do what it
you
just
know,
keep
why
what
put
you
the
have.
Money into it, then?
Yeah. Just make it as rustic and cool as you can without dropping a bunch of money on it.
And here's the deal. Don't let it, make it safe enough that it's not going to fall on you. That's
right.
It. What I mean?
Yeah, that's a good. Well, you guys are actually helpful. You gave me a couple things to think about. I can either just keep patching this bad boy together or bulldoze it and build anew without really letting the county know because they're the ones that are hindering everything. I would have done this a long time ago, but they just...
Well, you shouldn't have told them anything in the first place, unfortunately.
But if you're in a rural enough area, no one cares.
Right. I mean, you're growing dope in the backyard anyway, right?
Yeah, it's on 3 acres. Neighbors are far away. Nobody's going to see you.
Yeah, I mean, it's just about the only reason to permit it is if you are thinking of selling it someday and you want to pay your taxes now and be legit. And I've made 900 square feet into 5,000. I need to be paid for this when I sell it. That's why
it's
you
gonna
do
be
that.
More like making 900 into 1,400.
Well, yeah, and then another thing, Ryan. Yeah. Another thing: take pictures of everything you do, even the fixes. So you can have a record of it. You can see when you did it, and then you can
show the homeowner.
Yeah,
the potential
buyer. And if you do get popped by the city or whoever, inspector, go, hey, here's what I did. It's covered up now. These are pictures. Just cover yourself at some level.
You don't need a permit to repair it. You need a permit to rebuild, right?
You need a permit to add square. In your situation, a permit to add square footage.
And listen, you need a permit to put in a light switch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now I'm patching it together and putting in logs. But if I took it down and did a cabin kit, would I take pictures of that? That way, if I get stuck later, I can show.
Well, if you got the kit, you don't need pictures because it's the kit.
Exactly.
You're gonna have instructions.
Yeah.
I'd play it the other way, though, Ryan. You got this. I'd keep it. I'd keep it as is, fix it a little bit, make sure your kids don't get killed.
But I need more square feet because the family's growing.
Then get a kit and add it on to it.
Either get a kit. Either get a kit. Either get a kit or get Snip. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I got Snip, but yeah, thank you.
All right, good luck, man.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, see ya. Nice guy.
Yeah, nice. I know. Yeah. It's fun when people are trying to do something fun for their family, make it like Daniel Boone out there, right? That's
great. Hey, but with that said, Ericy, thank you for your support of our show. We appreciate it very, very much. Visit aceontheroof.com. Click on that PayPal button and subscribe to us, please. Go through the Amazon link. You guys know how to do it. Twitter, Ace on the House. Facebook.com, Ace on the House. Follow me on the Twitter, Ray Oldhoffer. Follow Ericy on the Twitter, Ericy Stromer, which is better known as Eric Stromer.
Yeah, Ericy.
Hey. What? Eric Stromer, yeah. Right? And ericstromer.com,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, why not?
What else you got going on?
That's all. Those are all the sites.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, rate us 5 stars on iTunes for crying out loud. Because it keeps us here. We love it. And we can, you know, continue to enjoy this fun time.
Eric, I do dig you. Matt, dig you too. Got to say that. Kaylin, thank you for your help. Hey, rate us 5 stars on the iTunes, people. Email us your video questions. Thank you.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.